This morning we're going to read the message. The title of this message is Seek Ye First. It's in the January issue of the Trumpet this year. I read it yesterday. It reached my heart. I thought at the time, I wish there was some way I could get this word out to every Christian, at least to every Christian in this country and a few other countries. I feel like it's very, very important. I sent it out again this morning as the weekly email message too. And we're going to read it now. All right. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God. Kingdom has become the buzzword of Christianity in these days. The feeling is that if you speak of the kingdom, you are a little further up the spiritual ladder than others. The truth is, though, when the word kingdom becomes fashionable, it is deteriorated. It becomes far less meaningful than it is in the scriptures. We're going to use passages of scripture concerning the kingdom that are very familiar to us, but we want to see them in a very unfamiliar way. We want them to come alive to us. May the Holy Spirit enlighten our hearts as we study. The teaching of the kingdom among many of today's churches are very much off-center. In most cases, it is presented as something in the distant future. Now, this is important to understand. The kingdom of God cannot be separated from the King of Kings. Since the coming of the Lord is thought of as future, therefore the kingdom must be future. This is their reasoning. It was the same with the Pharisees in respect of the Messiah. Jesus, though, denounced that theory emphatically. In Matthew 23:13, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither do you suffer them that are entering to go in." How did they shut up the kingdom? They shut it up by keeping it in the future. It is impossible to experience anything in the future. Let's repeat that. It is impossible to experience anything in the future. They talked about what God did in the past and what He was going to do in the future, very much like many of today's churches. John the Baptist, Jesus, and his disciples all taught that the kingdom was at hand. That means it is now available. We can enter in. It has been available since John the Baptist said it was at hand. It is not that we have access into the kingdom of God sometime in the distant future. Access is available now. Now we're going to review some very familiar passages concerning the kingdom. And as they open up to us, we will wonder why we haven't seen them in this light before. The first one is Matthew 6, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Most of you have long ago memorized this verse. What does it really mean? Jesus spoke of this in His Sermon on the Mount. Everything He said in this sermon is kingdom related. We will not have time or space to review everything in it, but the next time you read it, be aware that He is teaching about the kingdom of God. It is a verse, Open Heaven's Ministries. We have a book entitled The Sermon on the Mount, and it's a verse-by-verse study of the Sermon on the Mount, on chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. There is a reason the kingdom of God and His righteousness is connected together. It is impossible to enter into the kingdom without simultaneously receiving His righteousness. Romans 3:10, Paul says, there is none righteous. No, not one. That includes Christians. None are righteous in themselves. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. And we become righteous only as His divine nature takes the place of our human nature. This is another very important truth. So you see, there isn't anything you can do to earn entrance into the kingdom of God. This should be highlighted. The key is not what you do, it is what you become. It is not how much you speak in tongues, how much you prophesy, how many people you have healed of diseases, or how many revelations you've had of the mysteries in the Word that gives you interest in the kingdom of God. His righteousness taken over your whole being is what gives you entrance into the kingdom of God. So you see, it's not what you do in any religious sense, but what we become that makes the difference. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, that's divine love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. It is impossible to enter into the kingdom of God without a nature change. Human nature must be replaced by His divine nature. Let's say that again. It is impossible to enter into the kingdom of God without a nature change. Human nature must be replaced by His divine nature. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which means you can start receiving His righteousness right now. But also know this, you will only begin receiving His righteousness as you begin eliminating the things of self. Advancement in God takes place only as you eliminate self. John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. That's in John 3, verse 30. The kingdom of God is usually thought of as a period of time in the future when Jesus Christ reigns as King. From what we have seen already, we should understand that the kingdom is not a period of time in history. It is a relationship with the King. Do you understand? The kingdom of God is not a period of time in history. It is a relationship with the King. It is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that determines whether you are in His kingdom or not. If you relegate the kingdom to a historical place in the future, you are saying that many of His saints before us did not have access into the kingdom. The Apostle Paul wrote of the kingdom of God from his position in the kingdom. The Gospel of Matthew is a gospel of the kingdom of God. He ministered the kingdom of God in his gospel, and he could only do that because he was in the kingdom. I think that's important to understand too. You cannot minister the kingdom without being in the kingdom. You cannot minister Christ without being in Christ. You can read scriptures about Christ. You can talk about Him. You can tell truths about Him, facts about Him, all those things, but you can't minister Him without being in Him. That's a very important truth. You cannot minister anything of the kingdom without being in the kingdom. If it has not been worked in you, it cannot flow out of you. Now you can learn things about the kingdom because you read the Bible, and you learn many things about it. You can learn many things about Christ, but you can't minister that until it becomes a reality in your own life. Here's one. Acts 14:22. This one is very much overlooked. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I think we're going to talk about this one and probably end it here. And this is the truth that most Christians obviously do not understand, because they're constantly putting the tribulation off into the future, somewhere near what they call the end time. And it's the tribulation is always judgments ministered against the wicked. They lose sight of the fact that it's through tribulation that we enter into the kingdom. In other words, tribulation can be corrective rather than punitive. And there's all that unrighteousness that is within us has to be taken out. We've already talked about the fact that self has to be eliminated so that Christ can take his place in us, and it will be the tribulation that does that. All right. Many churches teach tribulation as a historical period of the future that precedes the kingdom of God. This is not an accurate teaching. Anyone who enters into the kingdom of God must do so first by going through much tribulation. Why is that true? It is because you will not empty yourself of self without the motivating influences of tribulation. This also explains why tribulation cannot be a period of time in history. If it was, anyone that lived and died before that time would not have the opportunity to enter into the kingdom. And for anyone born after that time, it would be too late. The tribulation and the kingdom must be thought of as a... rephrase that. The tribulation and the kingdom must not be thought of as a period of time in history. Jesus explained that when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Regardless of where your lifetime takes place in history, there's a tribulation you can enter that will give you entrance into the righteousness, into his righteousness and his kingdom. That is a truth not merely for people living today. It is a truth that's been available forever, because it's eternal truth. Any truth that comes from the mouth of God is an eternal truth. It always was, it always will be. Amen.